Again, thanks for having me. Really happy to be with you all. As the subject has been shown, I'd like to speak a little bit about why the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so I'm just going to read a verse here at the beginning from John 14 and verse number 6, a well-known verse. if you have the Bible, but I'll just read it, and it's very well-known. John 14 and verse 6, perhaps we'll just begin at verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So I've been interested in the series that has been going on here, and appreciate the tactic of trying to address relevant questions. And this is one that comes up from time to time. This claim that the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. Sometimes Christians are accused of being intolerant or unloving, hateful, close-minded because of such a claim that there is only one way to heaven, and they have found the only way, and Jesus is the only way. And what about all the sincere and devoted people in the world and many, many religions that there are, Hinduism and Islam and different even forms of Christianity. And so this claim has, been viewed as something intolerant, that Jesus is the only way. Now, I want you to notice, please, that I'm not going to answer, is Jesus the only way? Actually, the question will be, why is the Lord Jesus the only way? You see, the Bible tells us that he is the only way. That's why we don't have to answer the first question. Is he the only way? It was actually the words of Christ himself. So if somebody, perhaps I'm speaking this message, if there might be somebody on the call here today who is genuinely searching, I want you to know that God is not trying to hide anything from a genuine searcher of truth, that God is interested in a relationship with you, and he would desire for you to know him. And so if you're genuinely searching and wondering as you look around at the religious landscape and so many different ideas, why is the Lord Jesus the only way? There are answers. But I want you to notice this, that it is not the intolerant or fundamental Christian who has the view that the Lord Jesus is the only way, but these are the words of Christ himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so he didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I am the best way. He said, I am the only way. And he said, no one's coming to the Father except through me. And so really the problem, if you have a problem, is with Christ. It is with Christ. He is the one who made the claim. Now, how do we know, or why is the Lord Jesus the only way to heaven? Why is it that it is only through Christ? Why isn't it that people who are the most sincere, or people who are the hardest working, or people who change their life the most, why isn't that good enough? Why is it only Christ? That's what I want to answer just briefly here tonight, or sorry, this afternoon. I just want to answer that question for you. The first thing we need to answer is this. Why does there need to be a way? Before we answer why is the Lord Jesus the only way, why does there need to be a way? You see, if we don't understand why there even needs to be a way, then we will fail to understand why he's the only way. So we first have to answer this question, why must there be a way? You see, friends, today, the Lord Jesus and God himself did not set up the world in such a way for you to be at a distance from him, and he doesn't want a relationship with you. And unless you somehow stumble upon the magic formula, then you get to come into a relationship with him. But really, he doesn't want that. God is a cold, indifferent God. No, I can tell you that if you're listening to this message tonight, it is because God wants a relationship with you. Or perhaps it's because you already have a relationship with him. And God wants to know you. And it says very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so why is it that we don't just live in this world and all of us don't just die and automatically arrive in heaven? Why must there need to be a way? Why must there need to be a connection? What's the reason? Now, this is fundamental to understand. This is absolutely essential. If we miss this, then we will miss the answer to the question that's coming, why the Lord Jesus is the only way. The reason there needs to be a way to connect us to God, or a way for us to be in heaven, is because there is a big separation that took place when when we sinned. You see, we were made in the image of God. We were made for a relationship with Him. When Adam and Eve were first created, they walked with God in the cool of the day. There was no division. You would never have had to come up to Adam and Eve and say, "Do you know about the way to God?" They were connected to God. There was a relationship. They were enjoying it. And what broke that relationship was sin. Says the scripture in Romans chapter 5, "As by one man, sin came into the world, and death," or separation from God, "because of sin. And death has passed on all of us, for all of us," according to Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 3, "all of us have sinned." And so the reason why there needs to be a way is because there has been a division. There has been a separation. The separation is between us and God. It says it so clearly in the book of Isaiah. This is the words of the Lord to the people then. "Your sins have separated you between you and your God." And so it is sin that has caused the division. It is not that God looks at you and says, "If only you were religious enough, then you could be connected with me. If only you were more devoted, if only you prayed more, if only you read more of your Bible." No, the only thing that separates man from God is sin, because God can never dwell with sin. And so why must there be a way? Why do we need a way? Because of sin. Sin has broken the relationship. We have fallen from a relationship with God. We are not connected. Every child born is born at a distance from God, born separated from Him. And if we live separated from Him and die separated from Him, then we remain separated from him forever. That's what the Bible describes as hell and the lake of fire, to be forever away from the presence of the Lord, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, away from His presence, separated from Him. And so you see, this is all because of sin. Sin has caused the chasm. Sin has caused the gap between us and our God. And so that's why there needs to be a way. Now, in order for us to understand what kind of way will bridge this gap, there are two qualifications I would suggest to you today. Number one, the way, first of all, must deal with the problem. It has to deal with the problem of sin. Sin is what's caused the gap. Sin is what's caused the separation between us and God. And so whatever way it may be, whatever way any religion or anybody suggests, be it preacher or be it any religious document, it has to be a way that deals with the problem of sin. More than that, it has to be a way that deals with the problem of sin to the satisfaction of God. See, if God is not satisfied with whatever way is suggested, then no matter what man thinks, no matter what any human being thinks, that person will continue to be separated from Him. God is angry with sin. God has distanced Himself from sin. And so the way that connects us must be a way that deals with the problem of sin to the satisfaction of the offended God. That's number one. The way must deal with sin to God's satisfaction. Now, number two, a way, or if I can use this expression, a bridge that connects two sides. Now, this is very simple now, but the bridge must touch both sides. A bridge that only touches one side is a diving board. A bridge that touches one side is not connected to the other side and is going off the deep end. A bridge has to connect both sides. Otherwise, it's not a bridge. And so you see, now, just follow this, please. Just think about it rationally. What are the two sides here? The two sides, according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, your sins have separated between you and your God. And so the two sides are man, human beings, and God. And so a way, a bridge that connects the two must be able to touch man and God, and also deal with the problem in the middle of sin. So now we come to the answer to our little question here today. Very important, fundamental to understand. Why is the Lord Jesus the only way? One of the reasons I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I'm sure the people in Australia there and New Zealand are far more advanced than out here, but there was a study done in the United States not too long ago of quote-unquote born-again Christians. And I'm not sure how they came to understand that people were born again, asked a few questions, but a study done of born-again Christians, and 60% of born-again Christians, quote-unquote, under the age of 40 years old, deny, in the United States of America, deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They were asked, is Jesus the only way, or is Jesus the same as Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad? And 60% of quote-unquote born-again Christians under the age of 40 deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Friends, tonight, I can tell you that there are confusing things in this book. There are some things that are hard to understand. This isn't one of them. It is absolutely crystal clear. There is only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The apostle said, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The one thing that is absolutely, essentially clear is that the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. Why? You see, this is where religion fails. Just think of the little illustration I gave of the bridge. It has to touch the both sides. You see, that's what it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. There is one God and one bridge between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Why does religion fail? Why does it fail to touch the both sides? Because you see, religion only touches the side of man. Religion is only on man's side. In religion, you have man's efforts, you have man's praying, you have man's giving, you have man's sacrificing, you have man's sincerity. But you see, that never touches the throne of God. None of that ever reaches God. It never touches God's throne. You see, the only person, the only being in the universe who can rest his hand on the throne of God is God. It is only God who can rest his hand on the throne of God. Even the angels there who are the closest to him had to cover their eyes and cover their feet and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, they trembled. No one would dare approach the throne of God and take that book from his hand. The only person who could touch the throne of God must be God. No one else could come close. And so you see, all of man's efforts, whatever religion it may be, even so-called forms of Christianity, they never touch the other side. The religion I mentioned at the beginning of this meeting that my wife's family is a part of, the Hutterite religion, that says, do the best you can. All of your efforts, worship God, join the church, get baptized, try your hardest, be a good person. It's all touching man's side strongly, but it never reaches the other side. The distance is never bridged. And so you need a bridge that can touch both sides. Now listen, there is only one being that can touch both sides in this universe. It is God. And the story of the gospel is not how God stood a distance from man and asked man to try their best, because the bridge could never be bridged if man tried his best. The story of the gospel is how God actually became a man. That's the message of the gospel, that God became a man in the form and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what it says when he was born. You remember what the prophecy says? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the bridge, God reaching man, God connecting the both sides. So there is only one being in the universe who touches the both sides, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God and he is man. He is truly God and he is truly man. No other being and no other religion touches the both sides. And that's why all of them are excluded. It is not, please, it is not because Christians are intolerant or unloving or hateful. It is that no other bridge touches the other side. And it is the most loving thing to tell people who are really going off a diving board, quite literally, relying with all their feeling and all their grip, relying on this bridge that they think is going to connect them to heaven, and it's not going. Only the Lord Jesus Christ touches the both sides, because he is both God and man. And when he came into this world, he showed that he was God. When he spoke, they said, what manner of man is this? He has authority when he speaks. He gave sight to the blind. He gave the deaf their hearing back. He raised the dead to life. You know, if you were to see him, and if you were to bring 21st century technology back, and you were to look through at the Sea of Galilee one day, and you were to see a storm breaking on that little boat out in the Sea of Galilee, and a number of people on that boat as the storm is breaking there, and you were to look at them all, they would all look just like men. The Lord Jesus didn't have a halo on his head. He was just he appeared as just a normal man. He was a true man, and he appeared as a normal man. And as you were looking at that storm, and the waves are crashing in, and the storm is just rocking that boat, and you were to see maybe fishermen throwing over water and trying to get that boat steadied. And as you zoomed in, you would see a man there sleeping in the middle of a storm. And as you watched the scene, all of a sudden, that man who was sleeping would stand up, and he would start speaking to the wind. And then he would start speaking to the water. And next thing you know, that entire scene turns like glass. The lake is just as calm as a sheet of glass, not a ripple in the lake, not a blow of wind. You know what you would say? You would have no doubt that that was a man on the boat. You saw him sleeping just a little bit before, but you know what you would say? You'd say the same thing they said. What manner of man? What manner of man is this? You see, the Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, he showed that he was a man, but he was truly God. And so the reason why Jesus Christ is the only way, number one, remember the two criteria. The bridge must touch both sides. Jesus Christ is the only being in the universe, friends, who touches both sides. No other being in the universe, no other man like myself, no preacher, no teacher, no religious service touches both sides. It is only Christ. But now remember the second criteria. Not only must the bridge touch both sides, it can't just be that here we are separated from God and the bridge touches both sides. But remember, it has to deal with the reason. It has to deal with the reason why there's separation. What's the reason? Sin. It is sin that has separated us from God. And so you see, that's what the cross was all about, friends. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he went to deal with sin. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the result of sin was the curse. Remember in the Garden of Eden, it says, cursed will be the ground, cursed will be the womb, and curse came into the world. And the Bible further says that cursed will be anyone who hangs on a tree. And then it says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having been made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, the Lord Jesus went to the cross. He had nails driven through his hands and through his feet. He was lifted up on the cross to be made a curse for us, for you, friends, for me. He went there to take the curse of sin. The Bible says this, God made him who knew no sin, that's his son, to be sin for us. You see, here's the distance. You and your God. Christ comes. He's able to touch your hand. He becomes a man. He is God himself. And then he goes to the cross outside the city. And he is punished on that cross for sin. That's what the Bible says. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turn our own way in our sin. But the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. His soul was made an offering for sin. Christ died for our sin. Christ also once suffered for sin. You see, all those verses that you perhaps know or have at least heard many times What they're trying to tell you is not so much that on the cross there was a great deal of pain, though there was, but that's not the emphasis in the New Testament. The emphasis is this: whatever this man did, he dealt with sin. He dealt with sin on the cross. That's what it caused the separation. And so what God is really announcing, proclaiming in his word is this: here's a separation between you and your God. Here's a bridge that touches both you and your God. And that bridge has dealt with sin. He died for sin. But now remember, it has to be to the satisfaction of God. It can't just be that someone says, well, I've dealt with sin. It can't just be that a man from Michigan comes up and says, I'm satisfied with this. I'm happy with this. And you should be happy with it too. No, friend, we have to know that God is happy with it. We have to know that he is satisfied with this way. For if he is not satisfied, we are lost. We are still at a distance from him. So here's the question. Is there any way we know that God is satisfied with Christ? Christ said he's the way here. Isn't that what we read? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Christ was both God and man. He's the only bridge that qualifies. And then on the cross, he dealt with sin so fully that he cried out with a victorious voice, "It is finished." Three English words that all religions don't believe. It is done. Right. But how can we know? Is there any way that God has said, I'm satisfied with Christ? Yes. After they took down that form, that body, mangled, nails unfixed from his hands and from his feet, his body was bathed in his own blood. And as they laid him in that tomb, you know what happened on the third day? They came to see him, and they found the stone rolled out of the way, and the proclamation came, he is not here, he is risen. He is risen. And what was the reason for that? Oh, you say, I know the Easter story. I know he is risen. No, the reason for that is God has said, I am satisfied with him. I am satisfied with what he did for sin. I have raised him back from the dead to show the world that I am satisfied with what the Lord Jesus, my son, did for sin. And I have raised him back from the dead to show that. And so you see, we know that Jesus is the only way. Because number one, he is both God and man. He went to the cross to deal with sin. That's what the Bible says. And God has verified that he is satisfied with Christ by raising him back from the dead. And so you see, our faith stands. The bedrock of it is the resurrection from the dead, the resurrection of Christ. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if Christ be not dead, we're preaching for nothing. If Christ be not dead, our faith is in vain. You see, it is because God raised Christ from the dead that we know that God has said, this is the way I am satisfied with. And so you see, friends, the reason why the Lord Jesus is the only way is not the intolerance of any Christian. It is the only thing that can make any rational sense. It is the only way that could connect God to man. It must be someone who is both God and man, and it must be someone who deals with sin to the satisfaction of God. And that is what Christ did. He was made sin. He died under sin's penalty. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins must die. And then he rose again from the dead, breaking the power of sin. And so anyone here tonight, anyone listening on this call, the power of sin can be broken in your life. Just heard from our brother just at the beginning of this meeting as he gave the hymn of the power of sin broken. And I can tell you from my own experience, it's a real thing to know the power of sin broken in the life. It's not just some story that you read. It's not just putting your name in a verse. It's not just having some moment that you write in the front of your Bible, although all of those things could be fine and good. It's real to know the power of sin broken by the way, the truth, and the life. It's a real thing. It's a real thing to have Christ. It's a real thing to have life and to break the power of sin in a person's life. And that brings me to my last point, and I'll close with this. Why is a way needed? Because of sin. It's the only reason why a way is needed. The only reason for the distance is our sin. Why is Jesus the only way? He touches both sides. He touches God and he touches man, and he deals with the problem of sin to God's satisfaction. But you see, friends, knowing why Jesus is the only way, knowing that he's the only way, doesn't connect you to him. You have to trust him. You have to not only know that he's the only way, you have to know that you're on the way. Isn't that right? I could know the way to Australia, but that doesn't get me there. I have to be on the way. How do you get on the way? According to the Bible, now this is the hard part. I've talked to a number of people now in the last number of weeks. This is the hard part for the human heart. It was a hard part for me too. You want to know how you get on the way? You have to leave your way. That's hard. That's what the Bible describes as repentance. Turning from your way. Turning from your ideas. Turning from your notions. And coming God's way. You see, somebody asked me not too long ago, so you're saying you know that you're on your way to heaven? And I said, no. I don't know I'm on my way to heaven. He said, oh, I thought all you Christians knew you're on your way to heaven. I said, no, I know I'm on God's way to heaven. You see, I'm not trusting my way. My way wasn't going. God's way is going, friends. You need God's way to heaven. And God's way is Jesus Christ. Leave your way. Leave your way wherever it's. I can tell you, your way's not going. But come God's way. The way, the truth, and the life. And you will come into tonight or today a personal relationship with the Lord and one that will last eternity to know your soul saved. And our prayer, all of us here who have put on this meeting, my prayer personally in joining is that you would come into the good of this way, come to know the living God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So thank you for listening. Let's close in prayer.